Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell at his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, Were not ten cleansed? Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. He puts the purse down and sits on the floor in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" the butcher kind of jokingly asks. "You want to buy some meat?" "Woof," barks the dog. Says the butcher. "What kind? Liver, bacon, steak?" "Woof," interrupts the dog. "How much steak?" "Half a pound, 1 pound." "Woof." The amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. As the dog leaves, the butcher decides to follow, and the dog enters an apartment house, climbs up to the third floor, begins scratching at the door. With that, the door swings open, and the angry man starts shouting at the dog, and the butcher says, "Stop! He's the most intelligent, amazing animal I've ever seen." And the man says, "Intelligent? This is the third time he's forgotten his keys." Now that guy was not thankful. But we contrast that with the story of a lady who worked in downtown Chicago, and she encountered a lady in a shabby coat looking for change in front of an old brick church. She greeted everyone with a smile and a pleasant good morning, and this woman always gave her something. And after a year of this routine, the woman in the coat disappeared. The person wondered what had happened to her, and then one beautiful day, this woman was back in front of the same church wearing the same shabby coat. As the woman reached into her purse to give her a donation, the woman stopped and said, "Thank you for helping me all of those days. You won't see me again because I have a job." And with that, she reached into her bag and handed a wrapped package to the woman, and she had given her donuts. She wanted to give this lady who had helped all these people that had helped her for so long, she wanted to give them a gift to show them her appreciation. Now she, right, was what? Thankful. Now that's what I want us to talk about, thankfulness. And this passage is our jumping off for it this morning. First, when we're thankful, even in the midst of hard or difficult circumstances, this is the thankfulness that is faith. We read the scripture kind of quickly this morning, and to slow it down and we kind of picture it, we have 10 people who have the worst disease of their day. The physical ramifications are awful. Leprosy attacks the body and it leaves sores and missing fingers and toes, damaged limbs. It attacks, the initial pain gives way to more terrible loss of sensation, leading to more damage to body parts. It can take 30 years to run its course. In that time, entire limbs can simply fall off. It's a horrible, horrible disease. We have nearly an impossible task trying to fathom what it's like for 2,000 years ago when medical treatment we know today was almost non-existent. There's a great story about Beth Moore, who's one of a theologian, a thinker of this time. She tells about how she went to a leper colony and she wanted to go in and minister to the leper colony. And she walked by the entrance 3 times. She saw those who were suffering, and she begged herself to try to go inside, but she couldn't because of the smell, because of the what it was like there for her. She just couldn't bring herself to do it. The whole trip went by, and she was not even able to go inside. And so we understand, we have a little bit more of appreciation for what these 10 men were going through, what it was like for them. But even worse than the physical was the emotional pain of being a leper at that time. They were removed from family, from community. They had no contact whatsoever. with children, grandchildren, anybody, none, they are all removed. Spouses wouldn't even be able to kiss them goodbye for fear that they too would become afflicted. They were separated and set off, and they would roam together looking for food, begging for assistance because they didn't have any way of making money or getting things for themselves. So what would it have been like to have been removed from friends and family for a lifetime and to announce that removal everywhere that you go? You have to shout that you're coming. And yet in this account, the 10 people Jesus encountered hear him say the most unusual thing. They scream at Jesus, "We want to be well." And he says, "Just go and show yourselves to the priest." And that was part of the local priest's duty, you know, not just leading worship on the Sabbath, but they would also the health official. And so they would go to them and they would say, whether you're clean or unclean. And so that was kind of part of what they would do. But then Jesus said to these ones, "Just go show yourselves to the priests." And they look down at their bodies, and they haven't been changed. They say, "Go," you know. He says, "Just go," and they still are lepers. They still have leprosy. Their bodies look the same. Their legs, the wounds, all these things. They go off no better than they were before they left. And yet they head off and they go to see the priests. And on the way, they're healed immediately. All the things that were wrong are immediately taken care of. Everything is healed. They look at one another and they start probably screaming, right? Their smiles break into cheering, and they probably just start to go completely overwhelmed in the moment. They race off into the distance, but can't believe that the nightmare for them is over. But in order for that to happen, they had to start walking in faith. They had to start moving towards it. We can't wait, and it's a lesson for us that we can't wait until all the things in our life, all the problems are over to start walking in faith. We can't put those kind of conditions on God. Instead, God demands faith for us before anything has changed. God might say, "Love me despite of this. Obey me despite the lack of talent or resources. Follow me despite the sadness or what's going on," all these other things. This is the nature of God, and a God who loves us so much. And God will give us opportunity to be thankful when nothing about our circumstances give us that motivation. My friend Pete, who was living in China, one time got pulled into the police station, which is when you live in China and you're doing things, you don't want to go into the police station. You kind of avoid police stations. But he got pulled into the police station, and he was in big trouble, as much trouble as you can kind of be in. And he just started walking around, and he's saying, "Thank you so much for giving me a tour of your police station. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the tea. It was delicious." And he just kept saying, he was just saying how thankful he was that I'm so thankful that I got to spend time with such strong, amazing police. He actually didn't get in trouble. So I don't know if that worked. He's still okay and everything. But he was able to give thanks in a situation where, I don't know, not me, I would be in panic mode. I wouldn't be thanking them for the tour of the police station. I'd be like, "How do I say lawyer in Chinese?" But this is the very definition of faith and thankfulness in when we are in hard circumstances is faith. If we only praise God on the good days in the best situation, that's not faith. It's kind of a business arrangement as opposed to that. And that's what it's all about. So that second thing about being thankful that we learn from this is thankful in the work of God's goodness, that this kind of thankfulness is worship. When we do that, when we're able to be thankful in God's works of good stuff. In our story, just one of the people came back to Jesus and praised him. He was thankful. He was public about it. He was loud. He was not shy at all. It's like, I was at Dunkin' Donuts, like I do, and this guy came in, and he's talking on his phone, on speakerphone, to somebody on speakerphone in Dunkin' Donuts. Anybody, that happened to anybody else anywhere in town? It says, I was like, what about Bluetooth? I didn't have time to get into technology. Has come a long way in terms of that. But he was just kind of like, "Yeah, well, I'll see you at work." And if, you know, I was like, okay. But these lepers, they were loud. And this guy was loud because that's all they had known for their whole life. It had been years they had to yell to people. People wouldn't get close enough to them. They wouldn't come back. And so they wouldn't be able to get, no one would get close to them, so they had to yell at other people. This week, it's really important as we think about thankfulness to take time to acknowledge God and God's goodness. be sure to act thankful, you know, to actually be thankful this week. You know, we can gather up everyone for a prayer at Thanksgiving, and that's a prayer of thankfulness, and it's not something just to kind of cross off or to do, but to really be thankful, because we don't want to miss that opportunity to worship God in thankfulness this week. We have to be loud about it, like this leper. Let's have the Thanksgiving prayers that we have shouted, so we hear it all the way through Southbury and the neighboring areas. Can we miss that chance, right? Yeah, right? Because things are crazy. It's a short week, right? We might be horribly busy for days. The short week, we might actually be really busy for those days of the week. We might have time off, which means we have chores to do or things at church or, you know, Christmas shopping on the big sales and things like that. And if we're traveling, we have to get going. If we're hosting, we have to start cooking. And that means we have to go to the grocery store. We have to call the turkey helpline because we can't remember how long it has to be in there because we don't want to poison everybody, except we can look on our phones now. It's a holiday week. It's possible to get through the entire holiday week and not say thanks to God for one thing. We don't want to do that, right? Let's commit to that, because that's worship. And we also just have to make sure, based on this passage, that our thankfulness leads us into action. One leper came back. One caught himself mid-celebration and returned to the person who changed the life. One of them. What percentage is that? 1 out of 10? 10%. Okay, that's good. You didn't think it would be a math quiz today. That's not a good statistic. He reversed his step. He put family. He put his life. He put the priest. He put his celebration on hold to return and say the magic word, thank you. And Jesus says to him, where are the other 9? Do you realize what this says? Jesus says, go and show yourselves. But what kind of action is Jesus looking for? He's looking for the thankfulness in it. Is there something that we feel compelled to do like that? We have to listen to that in this holiday week. Assuming God is saying there might be something where we need to go and say thank you for this or something in our life. So we have to be able to, like this person, this 1 out of 10 that said, I'm going to go back and just say thank you to this person who changed my life. And another thing, a lifestyle of thankfulness is a lifestyle of being well. That's what we learn from this. We see this. We're going to look at all these different words. There's 3 different words that talk about wellness in this passage. And they're all different words in the Greek. And one of them is kind of the mending of a broken bone kind of word. And then there's also kind of the one that we get the word catheter from, but they all mean healing in kind of different ways. And then there's the other one that says, at the end, rise, go, your faith has made you well. And that's a different one as well. It's not a medical term. It's actually like your faith has made you saved. This Greek is word when you're in a difficult situation. It'd be like you're well because you're out of this dangerous situation. And it's the same one that Paul uses when he talks about different things in Romans 10. So Jesus says to this very thankful person, continue to follow God, you know, to worship God before you return home and pronounce you're completely healed, you're well, you're saved, you're all is okay. And this person and Jesus understand, but our question for this week is, do we understand? Our goal is to want to understand more and more about it. Jesus was healing lepers, and he had that power. He did. He was the Son of God. He was worthy of worship. But it's all built out of our great love for God. And God, I can show, there's yet another proof, another great story in Matthew 8 when another leper comes and says, Jesus, he comes and he kneels down from a distance and he says, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hands and he touched him and he says, I'm willing, be clean. And we see this one as kind of a similar one to this one, but this is another miracle because Jesus touched him. It must have been hard for him to be around. Those are both the miracles of this healing story. The leprosy was gone. That's the easy one to see. But the touch, the person who had not been touched for so long. Today, with COVID restrictions, even though we have that in place, we've touched more people in an hour than this person has touched in years. Today, we've been close to friends or family. We get to be together. Not this guy. He just longed for touch more than food, more than water. He needed that great love that God had. The scripture is just a great reminder that we have access. We have the ability that we can be, as the sermon title says, we can be thankful 24/7, 365, 366 on the leap year. That's how we say, and my generation says all the time. I don't know if anybody else use that, or is that just, can I say that as a generational thing? We say 24/7, 365, 366 on the leap year. It comes out faster when you're with people that know what you're talking about. 24/7, at least 24/7. We can be thankful. What I'm trying to say is every day we can be thankful, because nothing that has happened to us is so bad that Jesus doesn't want to touch us, be with us. Jesus is willing to lovingly hold us, restore us, forgive us. No bad choice that we've made has made us unlovable. Jesus calls us friend, calls us family, and God is always willing to stand beside us. And that's what we're really thankful for. No fear has disqualified us. No problem has put our life on hold. No failure has negated his love. That's the miracle of our understanding of thanksgiving, is the love, the deep, deep love of God. There's no exceptions. There's no qualification. There's no doubt. God loves every single one of us. And we see that in this scripture today. And so for that and everything else, we say we can't help but be thankful. And so let's carry that into this week. Amen. Amen.